Okay, I've just turned on the tape recorder so I catch this. And for the purpose of the tape recorder, it's Sunday, August 17th, and it's about 9:30 in the morning at Ruth Hein Darling's home in Leavenworth, Washington.
1511 Altenseestrasse.
And now we'll forget that the tape recorder's over there, so it doesn't make us nervous. Okay, where do we want to start here? And those pictures are absolutely great.
Yeah, that's a kind of a car my dad sold.
What kind of cars did he sell?
Dodge.
He was a Dodge dealership,
yeah.
And this was in Mount Vernon, is that correct?
Yes.
I'm going to also try and take some notes now. So you were born in Seattle.
Yes.
But then you moved, how old were you when you moved to Mount Vernon?
Well, let me see. I think I was about 10.
Okay, so you'd
That's
been
just
in...
That's a rough guess.
Did Homer move the family to Vernon specifically to be in the auto business? Or?
Yes.
Okay, so there was a business opportunity and he went up there. How long did he work? Or how long did he own the auto business?
I really don't remember. Not too long. Not awfully long. Several years.
Okay, so then you moved back to Seattle.
Yes. Mother didn't like Mount Vernon.
Oh, well,
she
there's a reason.
To get back to
there's a reason to move back to Seattle. Okay, so... So you moved back. His father was born in Mount Vernon.
Yes.
At least that's what his birth certificate says. But I guess I've always known that, but I was never quite sure as exactly why, because I knew he grew up in Seattle, why he was born in Mount Vernon. And I last night in a scrapbook that John has, there's a picture of the auto dealership in Mount Vernon. And it's something Brothers... You know, auto company, but it, then in smaller letters, it's owned by H.H. Hein.
Oh.
Okay. Well, what did your father do before he was in the auto business?
Oh, let's see. He was a... What was it, John? He was a...
Doing engineering for the Seattle Furman family.
Okay, so he worked for a phone company or a power company, so it was a phone company.
Yeah, a phone company. Yeah, our understanding is that he helped them lay out the phone system,
Infrastructure.
Telephone infrastructure for Seattle, yeah.
Oh, okay.
In fact, there's a picture someplace. Have you seen the picture someplace where he's down in the pit and there's all these pipes that are buried in a ditch that all the phone lines with conduit for the phone lines, I assume.
Oh, I haven't seen that picture. We'll run into that somewhere along the line. Okay, because I guess I was aware that he came, when he first came to Seattle, he was doing something with a phone company, and then clearly he headed out on his own and had an auto dealership, but then came back to Seattle. When you came back to Seattle, where did you live before you lived at Broadmoor? There was another home location that I've seen pictures of.
Well, now this is the Broadmoor house, and I think that's the other house.
That, I think, is your house in Leavenworth.
Oh, that's...
That's on Cascade.
Oh, that's the house.
But there was another house that I've seen a reference to in some of Father's pictures, and it had an address something like 707.
Oh, 707 23rd North. That was this house.
707 23rd North.
Is that Queen Anne Hill Mall?
No, Capitol Hill.
So I'm taking notes here. That's on Capitol Hill in Seattle.
Yes.
And when you moved back there, what did your father do? What did Homer do for a living? Was that when he got involved with Salmon Bay Sand and Gravel?
Yes, I think it was.
Okay, so then he did that, and then he was with Salmon Bay for a long time, wasn't he?
Well, yes, he was not active. He had a financial interest in it.
Oh, I see, but he wasn't active in day-to-day.
No.
Day-to-day business. Okay.
He was retired.
Okay, I guess we were discussing that last night.
Yeah, right? My sense of the history was that about age 43, he hung it up and hung out at the Ark of War.
That's...
but still had ownership in Santa Fe, San Andreas. I don't know when that got sold.
Oh, okay.
But we still see the trucks in Seattle.
So the company's still evidently in business. I wonder if I have a picture of him hanging on the wall in the executive suite, you know, along with generations of owners. Probably not.
They may have some kind of history, but never know.
Oh, well, we ought to check it out someday.
Interesting.
More over there.
So, do you know when you moved into the Broadmoor house? Or how old would you have been approximately when you moved there?
Well, gosh, I was going to St. Nicholas.
St. Nicholas being in school?
Yeah.
Was that grade school or high school?
Well, it was both.
Okay.
But I think that, I'm trying to think of, all I can remember about moving to Broadmoor is that my mother was so proud of the fact that she lived in Broadmoor, which was exclusive.
Well, I remember it as being a pretty classy neighborhood.
Yes.
And with a limited access with a gatekeeper.
That's right. Yes.
You know, if you're over there, they'll let you in if you just tell them that your grandparents live there and just want to drive by the house.
So. Well, Ellen and I thought about swinging by there, and we're running out of time.
I've driven through a couple of times. 12, just tell them I live at 1204 Parkside Drive. And,
well, as I was scanning some of these old pictures of the 1204 Parkside Drive, yeah, I was thinking that maybe I ought to, you know, print some on my printer and just mail them to the current resident, 1204 Parkside Drive. Here are some pictures of your house from way back when, but I don't have a date for the house. Do you know when did Homer and Rose have the house built, or was it an existing house that they bought?
I think that they had it built. And mother had made up the plans, and she made them up as they went along, and they built something in, and she'd say, "No, I don't like that. Tear it up."
Okay, so it was a sort of a custom house.
Yeah.
And I remember your house in Broadmoor, but I don't remember the other houses. So all the houses would look generally different.
You mean all of our houses?
In your neighborhood. In Broadmoor.
In Broadmoor, they were, some of them were like my parents. The one across the street was the biggest house in Brooklyn. Belonged to a man by the name of Paul Piggott. Forgotten. I think he was a banker.
Well, anyway, I guess I suspected that Homer and Rose might have had the house built because the early pictures don't have any trees around them.
Oh.
You know, the trees hadn't grown yet, but by
That's
the time
right.
I first remember it in the early 1950s, it was a jungle, you know, there were trees everywhere.
No, that was my mother's greenhouse. She planted it.
Okay,
she got what she wanted.
So Rose was the instigator of that. after she got the family moved back from Mount Vernon to Seattle, yeah. Then she talked Homer into building her dream house.
That's right.
So it leads one to believe that we now know who was in control of the direction of the family.
Gee, really? Well, my dad was so kind. She wanted to run everything, so he let her because he didn't want to hurt her feelings.
Okay. Well, let's see. What questions if I got to answer about home and Mount Vernon? Because I'd always wondered how Father had been born in Mount Vernon. I visited Mount Vernon a few days ago. I was visiting a friend north of Seattle, and she shops in Mount Vernon. So I said, oh, that's where my father was born. So we drove through downtown Mount Vernon and didn't see any streets named after Hines, or didn't see any auto dealers that looked like they might have previously been owned by Homer. But anyway, it was fun to drive through the streets of Mount Vernon. Well, tell me on a different subject, tell me what you know about Rose and her parents and upbringing. About all I knew or remembered before arriving here a few days ago was that she was born in or raised in Idaho.
Yes, but her father had a cattle ranch.
A cattle ranch, okay.
And I really don't know how my parents met exactly, but
yeah, I guess, John, were we talking last night? Your mother was previously married, I understand.
Yes.
Homer was Rose's second husband.
Yes.
And I think.
How did that come about, Mom?
Well, I think that her first husband died.
And how did that happen?
I don't really know.
Was there something about a hunting trip and he had appendicitis?
Oh, that's right, yes.
Absolutely. How do you recollect about that?
Well, he was on a, they were on a hunting trip and they were out in the boondocks and he had an attack of appendicitis and there wasn't a doctor. And they got him into town as fast as they could, but it was too late.
And so...
So how did Homer end up with his hunting buddy's wife?
With his hunting buddy's wife?
Yeah, because Rose was married to the guy who had appendicitis who was hunting with Homer, as I understand it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
And so then after the guy died from appendicitis, then eventually Homer married Rose, who was this other guy's husband. Wife.
Yeah, that's right.
So how is it that Homer decided to move in after the kill?
Well, I guess it looked like a soft time table.
Okay.
Works for me.
Because I guess I could check the dates, but I understand that you and Father were born kind of later in the lives of Rose and Homer than most people. They had children late in life.
Yes. They were married fairly.
Which explains why when I was a little kid, my grandparents were so much older than most of my friends' grandparents. Because
mm-hmm.
I only remember them as being, in their later years for sure. I just took a note. Do I recall that Homer was blind in one eye?
Oh.
Does that ring a bell?
That kind of rings a bell. I think he'd had a hunting accident. He shot a gun. And it was too close to his eye. One eye was fine, the other eye was Marginal.
Okay, so he wasn't totally blind in the eye. It was sort of blind.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, that was kind of the story I remember, was that it was one of these unloaded gun things or something of that nature. Would that have been on a hunting trip, or did he do it cleaning the gun in the living room or something?
I think it was on a hunting trip. He loved to go hunting.
I gather from the pictures that, yeah, he was an avid hunter.
He was an outdoor person. He liked to play golf, too.
Okay.
He loved everything that was out of doors. And my mother didn't care about, well, she didn't play golf. Of course, she didn't hunt. She was a good housekeeper. She kept her house nice home. And she was proud of it.
So, yeah, back to your mother. So I ran into a copy of her obituary at John's house last night. Little blurb, and it indicated she was born in Walla Walla, Washington, and grew up in Idaho.
Yes.
And so I guess I didn't know that. That's interesting information. When I recently visited with your daughter Ellen down in California last week, she indicated something about Rose growing up and being educated by sort of going down to Utah, I think, and, you know, for a year and then coming home and going back for a year, something like that. And
like
I don't,
that.
I didn't, she didn't seem totally sure of it or really understand it. Does that ring a bell? Can you add anything to that?
Well, there weren't any schools near where she lived. So she went and lived with her aunt.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In Utah.
Okay, so, and then she'd go to school.
During school, and then in the summer she'd go home.
Okay, so that explains that. Now, did she, was this for high school or grade school or college?
I think it was just, you know, she was embarrassed because she didn't have much education.
Okay.
And my dad was a college graduate. And she just had this limited education in Utah and Idaho.
Well, growing up on a ranch in Idaho at the time she was growing up, I mean, that was the frontier.
Yes.
There must have been Indians still, you know, circling the wagons.
Well, her father loved that life. He wanted to get out and
So he was an outdoorsman also.
Yes.
Why is it that males in the family tend to be the outdoorsmen and the females want to stay at home and decorate the house?
All except me.
Except you, okay.
The exception that proves the rule. Okay, according to this little genealogy chart on the wall that June put together for you, Rose's name is Roosevelt.
Yes.
Do you know if that was one word or two words?
Well, I think it was originally one word, but she decided that it was kind of, it wasn't very classy. I mean, like Roosevelt, so she changed it to Rose and Bell.
Okay, so she changed that. The best information I've had on that is from a picture of her gravestone marker in the cemetery in Poland, Ohio, and it reads Rose B. Hine.
Yes.
And so she changed that. Uh-huh. So this is a common gene in the family because you've changed your name. This was carried on from
From mother to daughter.
Okay, so you think she was probably born Rosabelle one word and changed it to Rose Belle
Turner.
That's what I think, but I'm not sure.
According to this, Rosa's father's name was Edward John Turner. Does that sound right?
Yes.
That sits well with me. Okay. And her mother was Martha H. Turner, according to this. Does that sound right?
I think so.
So she would have been your mother. So your grandmother would have been Martha.
But she died. I don't remember ever seeing her.
Okay, so you never knew your grandmother,
no.
Martha. Did you know your grandfather, Edward John, to work or visit the ranch in Idaho?
No, I always wanted to go. I was a dedicated horseback rider.
Ah, okay.
I wanted to go to that ranch, but my mother wouldn't go.
Did you ever meet your grandfather? Did he come and visit in Seattle?
I don't remember that he did. My mother just rejected her family, which even at the time, I thought that was terrible.
Yeah, you mentioned that the other day. So she just did she have a grudge against her family or something?
Well, she did, simply because she didn't like them, because they weren't educated and they were farmers. She figured being farmers was kind of a backwoods situation.
Oh dear. That's too bad. So she was nowhere near as close to her family as Homer was to his.
No.
I mean, clearly I've seen a lot of photographic evidence and father's story suggests that you all were very close with your father's uncles and your Aunt Helen, Charles and Alfred and Samuel Kirkland. You visited back there. They came out and visited you in Seattle, but there was not that kind of relationship with Rose. Okay. Well, look up. I found something. June had something at John's house last night that suggested that, or gave some names for Rose's brothers or siblings. Do you remember how many brothers and sisters Rose had?
Well, she had a sister named Lillian.
Okay, I've got that here.
And she had, I think, two brothers. But she resented her brothers because her father didn't like girls.
Her father didn't like girls?
He wanted to have boys, and every time her mother...
Oh, I see, okay. So he being a rancher, he wanted sons that could go out and work the ranch.
That's right.
Okay. Well, June seemed to show that Rose might have had two brothers, an Edward and a Frederick. Does that ring a bell?
Well, I guess so. I can't remember now.
So you don't know that specific, huh? And perhaps two sisters, Lillian and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
With the nickname of Bess.
That's right. She did have the two sisters.
Okay, so this...
But I don't remember the brothers.
Okay.
But if they're there, I probably just...
And then we can assume that they were all of these children were probably born on the cattle ranch in Idaho.
I think so.
Do you remember what town or what part of Idaho that might have been in?
No, it was a ranch out in the... I was there, but it was just fields. There was no town. And I...
Oh, so you did visit there.
I did go there with my parents. At one point, anyway. And I was looking forward to riding horses. My mother thought riding horses was not suitable for girls, so I couldn't. She wouldn't let me get on a horse, and I remember I got up one morning real early, and I'd made friends with one of the cowboys, and she didn't like that either. But I talked to him, and he said, well, he'd take me riding. I'd meet him at 5 o'clock in the morning someplace out in the field. So I went, and I got to ride the horse. And then I told my mother, oh, she was furious. Well, I don't blame her now. Being a mother, I would have been too.
Wow, okay, so you visited the ranch and saw the cattle and rode the horses, and this would have been when your grandfather was still running the ranch, or owning the ranch.
I think so.
Okay, well, that was neat. Would father have been along on that trip?
No.
My father.
Yeah.
Your brother, Kurt.
Oh, Kurt. Huh. I don't remember Kurt ever being on the ranch.
Okay, because I don't think he ever talked about it. And he didn't talk of, I mean, as I was growing up, he'd, you know, talk about the Poland family, the Ohio family, and certainly his father, but he didn't talk much about Rose or her parents. And that's why I just don't know anything about her.
Well, it's too bad. She was ashamed of her parents. Because they weren't as well to do as parents.
They were ranchers.
Yes.
They knew a whole lot more about ranching than Homer did.
That's right. And of course, I lived to ride horses, and here was this ranch. She wouldn't let me go out there.
There's a tie-in I never thought of. A horse tie-in is a family ranch. You know?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I love to ride, and wanted to live on that ranch.
I didn't know you were a horseback rider. Then when you moved out of the home with your parents and moved here to Leavenworth, did you ride horses a lot?
Every chance I could. Which wasn't very often.
Well, it just occurred to me, this may explain why when we came out here in 1955 as a family, you remember the first camping trip we went on up at Squirt Lake?
Oh, yes.
And, you know, all the Hine family and all the Darling family went up there, and I guess John seemed to remember the name of the fellow that ran the horse concession. But we all got on horses and packed up to Squirt Lake. I remember it well, and that was my first, I believe, my first experience with kind of the wilderness, or sleeping outside in a sleeping bag and looking at the stars.
I bet you loved that.
Oh, yeah. I was 10 years old at the time. Okay, can you think of other things about Rose before we get off on a different topic? What did she, she raised a son and a daughter of Homer, you know, at least for part of their married life, got up in the morning and went to work, and then after that he got up in the morning and went to the Arctic Club.
That's right.
what did Rose do when she got up in the morning? Was she, you know, member of the garden club, or the, you know, well, did she have hobbies, interests?
She would like to, but Rose had only an elementary school education, and she was ashamed of this, and it embarrassed her to the point where we dared not make any references to her education or background.
Well, I guess that's a shame, because there's a big difference between intelligence and education.
That's
Somebody can be very intelligent and can actually, you know, be very knowledgeable about certain topics without ever having a formal education.
Well, she was ashamed, because my dad was a college graduate. She just had never had the opportunity. Her parents had these, a lot of land. They had just as much money as my father's family had. But they were farmers.
Exactly. So you don't remember specifically that she was involved in specific hobbies or activities as such?
No, I don't. I remember that she was...
Didn't get together with the little old lady sewing circle or...
But she wanted to do this.
She wanted to, but she just didn't.
But she didn't know how to maneuver.
Oh, it just occurred to me, okay, she's uneducated, and then she moves into that house in Broadmoor. I suspect the neighbors and the people up and down the street, therefore, were a little intimidating to her. Okay?
Well, they were, and she...
Which, again, is unfortunate, because it didn't need to be that.
She took all of her pride was in the fact that she lived in Broadmoor. And she, and my dad was a college graduate, and his family all were. And
now, your father went to Case Western Reserve, or I guess that's what they call it now, but it was the Case School of Applied Science. It had several names over the years, and he was an engineer. He was trained as an engineer, is that correct? See, now this stuff I've read or seen or heard more, but let me pick your brain about your father a little bit. My mother, you know, since in an interview I had like this with a tape recorder with her about 10 years ago, seemed to think that maybe, I'm getting to, how did Homer end up from Poland? All the other brothers and sisters stayed in Ohio, and Grandfather Homer ended up in Seattle. Mother seemed to think that he might have been allergic to something in Ohio.
Oh, I don't think so. I think, well, he might have been, but in those days they didn't know about allergies.
They are, if you were allergic, they couldn't do anything about it. So do you know why he left Ohio and ended up in Seattle?
Well, he was kind of, he liked the great outdoors, and Seattle at that point was...
Okay, so Ohio wasn't quite as rural as it had been when Kirtland showed up in that part of the world. Okay, so he would have, he's kind of had the wanderlust.
Yes.
He wanted to go where it wasn't, where he could hunt and fish and that sort of thing.
That's right. Certainly
the Northwest qualified.
Those two things were his favorite things to do.
Okay.
That I knew about. Of course, he had other things that I didn't know about.
Well, I also ran into a newspaper article at John's last night that from about 1936 that was talking about the fact that Grandfather Hine, your father, had lived on a houseboat.
Yes.
With a group of bachelors 30 years before when this article, newspaper article, was written. And the gist of the newspaper article was that they all got back together again for a dinner 30 years after the bachelors had lived together on the houseboat.
Well, the ones that were left, some of them were in the cemetery.
Keep finding stuff. Okay, who's this picture? Oh, Emma Carroll and Kirtland Hine, born. That's your grandfather.
Well, that's my Aunt Mel.
No, this is Emma Kirtland Hine.
Oh, my grandmother,
that's
yes.
Your grandmother, my great-grandmother.
Oh, yes. He gets them all out of the den. Do you want him to come back in the den, John?
No.
The den is a little casual.
Is this a picture of? John's raiding your house. Well, it's a picture, but another picture of Emma Carolyn Kirtland, mother of Homer.
Yes. She was a really nice lady.
And so you knew, you knew Emma?
Not well, but I remember her a little bit.
Because according to this, she passed away in... Well, yeah, you wouldn't have known her very well. She died in 1914. You were born in...
1912.
You would have been two years old.
I guess I don't... I remember her from all the things my dad said about her. He adored his mother.
Okay.
And, my mother was always jealous because she thought that he liked his mother better than he liked her. Which isn't true.
Okay, while we're looking at pictures, we've gotten off the subject of Homer here for a second because of the pictures. But while we're looking at those, this is a picture that I took of a... This is a picture of a picture that's hanging in my den in Colorado. And it hung... The picture hung in my house in New Jersey when I grew up.
Oh.
And... I really need to scan it computer so I can make big copies suitable for framing so you can hang one on your wall. That's Samuel Hine.
Yeah.
Emma Kirtland Hine. Aunt Nell.
Oh,
Eleanor Louise Hine.
Gosh.
Uncle Kurt.
Yeah.
And I think I believe your father was the second from the youngest.
I think so.
Which, just looking at the ages here, would make that Homer,
uh-huh.
I think. And then the other two, this would be, one of these is Charles and one of those is Alfred.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That is a priceless picture.
And so when I have the time, I'm going to take it out and have it photographically reproduced and make sure that you and all your kids and all my brothers... get a copy of that.
Oh, that would be a very nice
picture. Because that's the only picture I have that goes back that far. You have some pictures. You have Turhand up there, and you have Emma here.
Yes.
And I keep finding, well, that one I've got about 10 copies of. Father had distributed that to everybody he knew.
I don't know what that is, but...
Are you coming out? Are you just scrounging the house, looking at every corner?
Scrounging in a little box.
This is the Hine family on the steps at home. Oh my gosh. Look at that. Huh? I remember the Poland house and those pillars.
Of which, do we have a date on this? One family on steps of Poland, there's no date. Don't you just hate that when the picture doesn't have stuff on it? Because this is not, I don't see you or father in here, so this must have been prior to that. Don't know who that is. Okay, and what's this? There's a newspaper article wrapped in plastic here. And I don't know why. Do you know what this is? I don't. I'm about to open it and we'll find out. Maybe John knows. Victoria Daily something or other.
Chronicle.
Victoria Daily Chronicle, Saturday morning, February 18, 1865.
Wow.
Well,
ancient history.
Victoria, where is this? Victoria, Canada? I don't... Oh. Published every day by Higgins and Long Publishing Company. Government Street near Yates Street upstairs. It doesn't tell me what city this is.
Is it over here?
Tuesday by Higgins Long. No, it's the same thing. Well, I'm
I'm looking for some clue as to exactly where this is and why it's so perfectly preserved. I mean, I'm going to be very careful of this. It's... Well, I don't know. Let me get John. John? What's this newspaper all about? Because I'm trying to figure out, what it is, and all we can figure, I mean, it's the Victoria Daily Chronicle from 1865, but I can't even...
I don't even know where it is.
I mean, the only Victoria I've ever heard of is up here in Canada, north of Seattle, but I don't know why this has been kept all these years, nor...
Government Street near Yates Street upstairs, so it must be Victoria. But I don't know what that's in there.
We don't know why we're looking at this. Huh? Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody's carefully preserved it here for a long time, but well, it would take a while to look through all this, so I don't think I'm going to do that now unless I run into something really soon. A lot of ads for sewing machines. Do we have any ancestors that were big on sewing? In any case, we'll look through this a little bit more detail later. Okay, so yeah, Homer ended up living on a houseboat with a bunch of bachelors for a while, and that must have been, you know, sometime before he married Rose.
That's right.
And I'm going to go pull up some genealogy information and make sure I know when Rose and Homer were married and things like that. And I mean, okay. According to the information I have, and I can't remember where I got it, is your parents were married on June 11th, 1910.
Well, that could have been.
You don't remember one way or the other?
No, I don't. I wasn't around.
You were born in 1911, so you came along a year after they were married. Okay. So, back to Homer. What do we know about Homer? Okay, he loved the outdoors. He ended up in Seattle. When you were... I've got pictures of you and the rest of the family and father back in Poland, Ohio. Do you remember as a child how many times you might have gone back to Poland? Was that a one-time thing, or did you go back there frequently?
As I recall, we went back there quite often. Mother didn't want to go. She didn't like Poland. She didn't like anything about Poland, but Dad insisted on going back and seeing his family. And when the chips were down, she didn't want to stay home alone, so she went with
it. Okay. So you went back frequently. Did you go by car or by train? Certainly, it probably was too early for airplanes.
Yeah, I think we drove.
You would drive, but that would have been quite a drive back then.
That's what everybody thought.
I mean, there were no interstate highways. I can remember driving cross-country without interstate highways. Okay, so you got back there frequently. I do have some pictures back there, and I also have pictures that suggest that that at least Kurt and your uncle Kurt and maybe some of the other brothers came out here and visited.
Yes,
so they were a close family then.
They were.
I mean, it wasn't as if Homer had left Ohio to get away from his family. That was not the case. Okay. What else do we need to talk about here? Tell me about my father. Tell me all the secrets that you could never tell when he was alive.
And your father was...
was your brother Kurt.
Oh. Well.
Okay.
What I remember about Kurt was that he was a rascal.
Well, that's the way I remember hearing it, but I can't remember some of the specifics. I mean, I do remember some stories, but not all of them. I mean, didn't he used to kind of get into mischief regularly?
Yes, I think he did. And my mother, my dad and Uncle Kurt were very close. But Mother resented Uncle Kurt because she thought that he led my father astray.
Oh, okay. Well, your father sounds like the adventurous type, and my father was certainly the adventurous type. And I'm just now learning that you were sort of the adventurous type. It ran in all parts of your family except your mother, huh?
Yes.
Because there's your brother, my father, and here he is on skis. I've never seen those pictures before.
He was an excellent skier.
Oh, yes, he was. He was one of the best skiers in the country when he was at Yale. And but you were, let's see, if you were born in 1911, father was born in 1916, so you were 5. Okay, so you were just saying that father was the fair-haired boy in the family. Was that just in the family, or was that just in society in general?
Well, I really don't know about society in general, but I know that they wanted a boy to carry on the family name, which I can understand now. That
well, they got one.
Yes. They got one, and he was definitely favored for the name, simply because...
Really? Okay, so you were the older girl, but because you were a girl, he was favored simply because he was a boy. By both your parents, or just by one?
No, by both of them.
Really?
Mother was proud of having giving birth to this fantastic creature.
This little rascal. So then let me guess, father must have been spoiled rotten. Is that how that manifested itself? Or
he knew that he was better than me. Because he was born. And I didn't think that was fair. And I still didn't.
Okay, well, that's fair enough under the circumstances. But if you... So you were 5 years older than him. I guess that at least... You know, I'm 6 years older than my youngest brother, Henry. And when I was growing up, you know, as a younger child, Henry was younger enough than I was that he sort of wasn't part of my playgroup.
Oh.
You know, would that have been the case also with you? I mean, being older, did you play with him a lot as children, or did you have your own social group and he had his own social group of kids to play with?
Well, I like to play with girls. And he didn't, so
okay.
I resented him because he was a favorite in the family. And he was Uncle Kurt's. Uncle Kurt was the wealthy man in the family.
Correct. Uncle Kurt helped pay his expenses at Yale.
Yes, and he also made him one of his heirs.
Correct.
And being a girl, I was worthless. And I didn't like that. Because I didn't think that was fair.
Okay.
It wasn't.
Well, I've got some letters that Father wrote home to both you and Rose and Homer. When he was at college, and it sounded like you were reasonably close as a family.
Yes, I think we were.
Did Father used to call you his chickadee or something like that?
Yeah, that's what he called me.
Because that's what these letters say, you know. Hello, dear chickadee, or, you know, whatever.
He was a very loving father, and he felt bad because Mother resented me because I was a girl. So did his brothers. or Uncle Kurt anyway. And so Father was, we were very close.
Now, what kind of things do you remember that Father did as a boy to get himself in trouble? I'm actually drawing a blank right now, but I vaguely remember several stories that, of course, he wouldn't have told anybody when he was growing up, but something about the golf course nearby, I can't remember, I'm lost on the details. It did something to, you know, they TP'd the golf course or one of those tricks Bruce's daughter was talking about the other night at dinner.
Oh, yes, I remember that TP.
Anyway, yeah, I gathered Father was somewhat of a rascal.
Well, he was not a bad person, but he was just...
No, he wasn't doing it. I mean, he was just on the verge of illegal, you know, I mean, just pranks.
Mischief
and pranks, not a teenage hoodlum, for
That's
sure.
That's right.
What do you remember? I know the golf course at Broadmoor, right? It was just kind of, it was all the way around the outside of Broadmoor.
Uh-huh.
What do you remember about Kurt pulling pranks on the golf course?
Well, I don't.
He might have gotten in trouble for it.
It was something that he had the guts to tell us kids about it at some point in time. But I just know that there was a lot of stuff that he would never admit to his kids because he didn't want us out doing similar stuff. Though I had my own little streak, but perhaps not as bad as him. Anyway, I do remember him very specifically telling the story several times of when he was racing sailboats with Charlie Ross and maybe others. He told of they had a race where they took the boat up to Canada somewhere. And looking at a map, I suspect it was Victoria, but I don't know that for a fact, for a regatta and a sailboat race. And this was during Prohibition. And they would sail back with the bilge full of beer. Because evidently your father enjoyed a beer once in a while.
Yes.
Does that ring a bell?
I remember that. And I enjoyed a beer once in a while too, so.
Well, you still do, didn't you? Just have one the other night?
Yes.
So that story sounds like it's probably true to you. He might have been in the liquor smuggling business or the beer smuggling business. And I don't know whether this happened once or a number of times. But yeah, they
had the Victoria run for beer.
Well, yeah, I gather they were up there for a race anyway, the way he told the story.
Yes.
Now, you never know if he told the real story here. Maybe that's how he was earning his spending money when he was in high school. I don't know.
Beating the revenue.
Well, he was a rascal. No doubt about that, but he was not bad. He was just...
Well, exactly. That's the way I would have described it. Okay, he went to the Lakeside School, I understand.
Yes.
And it was... Do you recall whether... Was that a big school or a small school?
Well, I went to St. Nicholas, which was the girls' private school, and Lakeside was the boys' private school, which was comfortable, too.
Okay, so they were where people that could afford it sent their kids, and they didn't want them to hang around with the riffraff in the public
That's
schools.
Right. Well, I'm not sure this is exactly that. They thought we would get a better education.
Well, I guess I suspect you probably did. That Father in the Yale.
Yes.
Because I have I was showing it to June last night, I think, before you, or just after you've fallen asleep, perhaps. John fell asleep watching a James Bond movie last night on the living room floor. I ran into a letter and a bunch of letters that I have that you actually stored for a while that Father had... sent back from the East Coast, and I guess when Rose passed away, this little box of letters ended up stored here in Leavenworth or Wenatchee, and at some point your daughter Ellen pack them up and ship them to my brother Henry in St. Louis. And Henry said, I don't know what to do with these. He gave them to my mother in Herman, Missouri. And I was back there once and ran into him and said, oh, I'd like to go through those sometime. So I hauled them back to Colorado in my car, where they promptly sat for 10 or 15 years in my basement. And just this past year, I looked at them, and they're priceless. They're letters from father wrote from college to you and to your parents. But in that same box was a letter. I guess your mother never threw any of these letters away. Every time she wrote, she got one, she clearly saved it. And in that box of letters is a letter from dated June of 1929. This would have been when father was still in grade school. He wouldn't have graduated high school in 35, so he wouldn't have even been in high school yet. But it was a letter written from Nell to Nell. It was written from Cornelia W. Hall, whose nickname was Nell, and she was the one who controlled the Boardman Scholarship that father went to school on. And it was addressed to your Aunt Nell, Ellen Louise Hine, and forwarded to Rose and Homer, where I guess Nell, Aunt Nell, had written Cornelia W. Hall and said, hey, can Kurt Hine, have the scholarship to Yale? And Cornelia W. Hall is writing back saying, sure, he can have the scholarship to Yale, but he has to get the grades.
Yeah.
I mean, she's basically saying, I can't get him into Yale, but if he can get into Yale, he can have the scholarship. And 5 years later, father went off to Yale. So he clearly got the grade. And that's, clearly where the scholarship came from. His father, the way I understood it, father, I always knew father had a scholarship, and he also always used to mention that his tuition or some of his expenses were covered by the Boardman Scholarship at Yale, but then his other expenses were paid by Uncle Kurt. And I know he used to always visit with Uncle Kurt and the other relatives on his way back to Seattle, because that was where the gravy train was coming from.
Yeah. Well, he and Uncle Kurt had a certain amount in common, too.
Well, yeah, I gather that. I think, father was kind of father's secondary adopted father.
Yes.
And Uncle Kurt didn't have any children, so Uncle Kurt sort of adopted, father as his favorite nephew, I guess.
Yes, that's right.
Anyway, these letters are very interesting. There's our letters. Father got a pilot's license when he was at Yale.
Yes.
And there's a couple of letters that he sent back home where he's justifying or attempting to justify the expense of getting a pilot's license.
Oh.
to your parents and I guess to Uncle Kurt. Aviation is the wave of the future. And boy, if I could just get a pilot's license and in addition to my Yale education, I could get a great job when I get out of college, which he did. He did get a good job in aviation when he got out of college. Okay, what else? Back to father as a young man. He learned to ski in his Seattle days, and I've just recently learned that you were a skier back then also.
Yes, I
did. Did you ski before he did?
No, I think he skied before I did, and he learned to ski, and then he said, you don't like this. He taught me to ski.
Really? So,
and so I loved it.
Do you know how old he would have been when he learned to ski?
Well, I think he was still in elementary school, so he...
So he was reasonably young. Okay, because I've never... He told me lots of stories, which I have in my mind of skiing in New England when he was at Yale.
Yes.
But he I only have a few of his skiing stories from the Seattle days. And I don't know, did he ski race when he was in Seattle, or?
I don't think that they have ski races. Skiing was just starting.
Exactly.
I remember my parents thought skiing was the last thing we'd ever do. Dangerous. Had no rewards.
Well, it's turned into, he was on in the ground floor of what's turned into a huge industry.
That's right, yes. And he loved to ski.
And you're aware that Father started and ran a little weekend ski area in New Jersey after World War II? I've got pictures of that and documentation of that, which is interesting. Okay, so I'm just mentally going back. You think he, I know very little about his early days, but you think he was in grade school when he learned to ski. Would that have been just, how would he have taken up skiing? Did just friends maybe say, let's go skiing? Or?
I think that they had a, what do you teach you to as a student? And taught the kids in
at Lakeside.
Lakeside.
Okay.
How to ski. And my brother, Kurt, was just naturally good.
Oh, he clearly was.
He didn't have to struggle. He was just a natural horse skier.
He clearly was, and he had a gene for that that he didn't pass on to me, because I never got past the serious intermediate stage. But yeah, he'd take us skiing when we were little kids, and he was just rock solid on the slope, and he'd go straight down anything with no trouble at all. And anyway, yeah, recently I've tried to research Father's skiing history a little bit, and I found some medals that he had that he won during college. And he had always claimed to be one of the best in the country in college, and I did some research that suggests that in fact he was. In those days back east, Dartmouth was the really big ski school, and they had great ski coaches, and every ski race Dartmouth boys used to finish always in the top. And I pulled some records out of Lake Placid, New York Public Library that show, I traced down some of the medals. I've got medals that show him, second in downhill, third in slalom, kind of things. And I traced those medals down, and sure enough, Father's, in those races where he won those medals, everybody else in about the top five places was from Dartmouth. Uh-huh. And and so Father was clearly a good skier in those days. Then I was on the internet trying to see what was going on in Seattle in those days, see if there were any races that I could trace Father to. And I couldn't find much racing at all in the Northwest in those days. But I found some references to somebody and emailed somebody who posted some stuff and said, I'm trying to find out, if Father... my father was a skier. Do you have any information on him? And I also put in some of the names of people I knew Father skied with for reference, which included, there was a Peter Garrett, I think. Does that ring a bell? The name Peter Garrett?
No, that doesn't mean
anything. Anyway, another one was, I guess, somebody that might have been Father's girlfriend for a while, Jenna Hickman. Do you remember Jenna Hickman?
Oh, yes, I know that.
Or it was Jenna Bowden, I guess, was her maiden name. Oh. And so I sent this email off, and I got back a response that said, from this fella that said, oh, I know, knew Jenna Bowden, and I still know her brother. So he sent a copy of that off to her brother, and who sent a copy to Jenna, who I guess is still living in St. Louis, or in Seattle somewhere. Anyway, back to Father. Good skier. He was also a sailor. We've talked about that.
Yes.
And for the tape, we talked about that the other night. The Hines never owned boats in Seattle. Father did his sailing on other people's boats.
Yes.
And,
my dad was a golfer, he wasn't a sailor.
So, and probably didn't have enough money to buy a sailboat in those days. But, Father always talked about racing star boats. Of course, that's what got him into sailing later in life, was his experience of sailing here. What else do we want to get into? What have I forgotten about Father? I can remember as a little kid coming to Seattle and still finding sort of his electronics workshop up in the third floor of the Broadmoor house. Was he always up there tinkering?
Yes.
He had crystal radio sets, if I recall. But that wasn't... may have had this wrong. His bedroom wasn't on the third floor, or was it?
No. His bedroom was just opposite mine.
On the second floor. Okay, so the room in the attic that I remember would have been a workshop or a playroom or that kind of thing. Okay. I hadn't remembered, I guess somebody mentioned there were maids' quarters on there.
Yeah, there were.
On the third floor. Did you all ever have a live-in maid, or was that just extra space?
No, we always had a live-in.
Really?
Yeah, I can remember when I was young. And then it got, I don't know who, what organization it is, I can't think of it, but anyway, living maids were, well, it was considered derogatory to be a living maid, and we didn't, mother didn't want to be a living maid, so we fired all maids.
And your mother did the cleaning?
They didn't do much cleaning, what we call those.
That's funny. I don't do much cleaning. Interesting. Okay, so you did have maids when you were growing up.
Yes.
Well, tell me a little bit. We talked about this the other day, but for the purpose of the tape recorder, you went to high school, private high school in Seattle.
Yes.
And then you went to, started college in Scripps?
At Scripps.
Where your daughters were.
Yeah.
But then you finished college at in Seattle, mm-hmm. University of Washington. Why was that? You just didn't like it down in California?
No, I loved it, but my dad ran out of money.
Oh, okay. Well, that's important.
Scripps was fairly expensive private school, so I can remember when he told me. And he felt so bad because he knew that I loved Scripps and I loved Southern California. And he said, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to tell anybody in my life. But I just don't have any reason to love Scripps. Hmm. And since he loved it, he said, it's fine. I can go to the university and ski. And I did.
Okay. And you graduated. What was your degree in?
English literature.
English literature, okay.
Kind of useless.
I was just thinking, if your father couldn't afford to say, when your father couldn't afford to send you to school, clearly you didn't have quite as good a relationship with Uncle Curtis as your brother did.
Yeah, Uncle Curtis.
Couldn't talk him out of any money.
No, he didn't like me because I was a girl and he didn't like any girls.
Oh, so this ran in the family.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it ran in throughout society.
I think so. Yeah. Women were supposed to keep house and cook.
Be seen and not heard.
That's right. Be seen and not heard. Oh, gosh, I couldn't remember that.
Things have certainly changed since then. We're dealing with now the revenge of the female gender. You know, now they want everything and are getting it. So when you graduated from college, I think John was saying yesterday, you moved to Leavenworth? You moved here before you met Tom?
Yes.
So that's how you met him. See, I would have guessed you met him at college somewhere, but you came to the small community.
Well, my parents moved here, so I moved here to
see him. No, your parents didn't move to Leavenworth. Rose and Homer?
No, I guess they didn't. I don't know where I moved to. Well, I moved to Leavenworth because I loved to ski. And there was skating.
Okay, so moving to a small town in eastern Washington was something you wanted to do.
Yes.
It wasn't as if it was the only place you could find a job during the Depression or something like that.
No, I moved here because so I could skate. Really? And then I had to teach to Emily so I could ski. So okay. I did that too.
That was going to be my next question. So you were a teacher here.
Yes.
In Leavenworth, and clearly then this is where you met Tom. Mm-hmm. Mary, and then lots of children.
Yeah.
And you're still here. Okay. So skiing. See, I guess somehow I missed that. I never knew you were a skier also. So it sounds like you, like Father, were somewhat adventurous. You wanted to ski, you wanted to ride horses.
Yes, I was an outdoor person. I loved all outdoor recreation.
So then you would have gotten that from your father, certainly not your mother.
No. I like to play tennis.
As Kurt did. Oh, I'm playing a lot of tennis this summer. I love to play
Are
tennis.
Are you? It's a great game.
Do you still have a tennis racket?
You wouldn't want to play with me.
Okay, yeah, I'm loving playing tennis. Okay, this was the letter you wrote me. We talked about this the other night. You wrote this in 1983 wanting to know if I had gotten, this was after Kurt passed away. Father wanted to know whether I had gotten the Kirkland silver, and we decided the other night I showed you the picture, and I had. So, see, I have a, this is a package of photos that I went with, that were in with Father's stuff, and I have a note on this that says, ask Ruth about these.
Oh.
So here you are. Here we are. They're sort of pictures that I could, that were in with Father's stuff, and I couldn't identify them. So maybe move over here, and we won't spend a lot of time, because some of these are duplicates of what's in here. But let's, well, no, do either of those pictures remind you of anything? Do you know what they are?
No, that
one doesn't. And you won't spend a lot of time on things that don't ring a bell.
Well, that one doesn't either.
Okay. Does that maybe look sort of like the house that you lived in before Broadmoor?
Yes, it does. Yeah, our 23rd Avenue house. However, it wasn't this house, it was this house.
Okay. So then would that maybe be you or Kurt? Or you were, maybe you don't, it's hard for me to tell, I certainly can't tell.
Well, it might have been Kurt, but I can't tell either. Okay, I don't know why I'll save that picture.
Okay. Is that your father? Hard to tell. It just on the back it says it's Dad.
Huh.
And I don't recognize the handwriting.
It doesn't look like my father.
Okay, so we don't know about that. We're sorting these into piles. Is that also the 23rd Avenue house?
Well, it looks like it.
Okay, so that could be. That's what I thought, but I couldn't be sure. Even there, does that ring a bell at all?
No, I don't recognize the house or the people.
Okay, we'll put that one aside. Now this one, I can't even tell what it is, much less identify it. I mean, it's just a...
No, I can't do it.
Okay, this one on the back reads Kurt in shorts, and then I can't read the rest of the writing. Does that look like your Uncle Kurt?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
The face looks exactly like Uncle
Kurt. So that's your Uncle Kurt.
Yes. He used to spend winters in Florida with my shoes. My dad.
Actually, I remember I've got letters that he wrote from Florida, and I can't remember it, but I have the name of the place he used to stay in Florida. Is that anybody you know? It's not labeled as to anything.
No. It looks vaguely familiar, but I can't. It's not...
It has no particular meaning. Okay. Now that looks like Uncle Kurt again. I'm beginning to get... I've seen enough of these pictures now.
Yes.
I'm beginning to get to the point that I recognize this.
That looks like Uncle Kurt. I don't know where that's taken. But that sure looks like him.
Okay, I've got a whole mess of baby pictures and that were in there, and I think maybe these are me. I mean, these are lots of baby pictures, and whoever it is wearing a Y on their little sweater.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That would Yale, and yeah. So I suspect that these might have been pictures that of me that got in there, but I mean, you wouldn't recognize any of these babies, would you? None of these mean anything to you?
Oh, cute. You were a bit cute baby.
No, I don't know for a fact that it's me, but it certainly could be. As could be.
Oh, cute.
Good grief, what the heck is that? Read it. I don't know. It's a bear. Why it's in this pack of stuff, I don't know.
Oh, yes. They're cut. Oh, it's cute.
If you don't know,
but not from.
You weren't there when that was taken or anything.
You would have been if I had been around.
I don't see anybody in these that I recognize, but I wonder if those aren't some of your father's hunting pictures or something. Father had these pictures for a reason. I assume he knew what they were.
Yeah, he didn't label them.
But he didn't label them.
That looks like it might be a man, but I don't know who he was. Good gravy. That must be your whole family.
Do you recognize anybody?
Not really.
Okay, so
all kids look kind of alike.
And it's not your school class or anything like that.
I don't think so.
Again, Father had these for, I kept them for a reason, I assume, and maybe, I don't know, maybe that's his grade school class or something. In any case, if I can't identify it,
Give us an idea. Either of those mean anything.
Well, yeah, that looks kind of familiar, I think. That's a house in the woods and a front porch.
Looks familiar.
Looks familiar, but I think.
Can't place it. Okay. That horse is in it.
Uh-huh. Family wasn't horsey.
But you were.
Right? Yes, I was very horsey. I loved horses more than cows, which was a terrific worry in my life.
What did we do wrong? Doesn't ring a bell on this one?
Well.
Wondering if that could be Homer, but I don't know. I'm guessing.
I don't know. What is he talking about? A pipe? Is he smoking a pipe?
No. Yes. Clearly smoking a pipe. And okay, with best wishes, as it says, and I think that's my rating. I put on their Homer question mark. So I don't know who.
I don't know.
You can't prove it one way or another. Okay, there's some horses.
Oh, doesn't that look? Horses. Looks like they're all picked up to go in the hills. Oh,
but you don't recognize anybody or any part of the circumstances. I wonder if that is Homer on the horse. Did Homer like to ride horses?
Homer wanted his own form of transportation.
So that wasn't his favorite.
No. I loved to ride horses, but he preferred cars.
Anybody there you recognize?
Well, they look like sturdy guys, and I don't know who they are. I'm missing them. There's no way I don't recognize them.
Mm-hmm. You know, those of us who were born about the time I was, and look at old black and white photos and black and white movies of before we were born, we think the world existed in black and white when all these were taken. You That's know better, true. Right?
Yeah.
you saw all this stuff in color.
Oh, well, that looks like my hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, look, maybe you love to fish. You would rather fish than eat.
That would be Homer. Okay. So did Rose spend a lot of time cooking fish that Homer brought home?
Well, she may have originally. By the time I was old enough to remember, they always had a meal in the kitchen.
Why are these booty pictures here? It's good because we don't have to waste the time to look at them. Nothing rings a bell there?
No. I don't. I don't recognize any of those people.
Nothing recognizable. Okay. I don't know, big building.
Oh, no, that was the covenant, you see. Same golf course in that old gone.
Oh, okay.
But I can't remember. That wasn't right now, but I remember.
Okay, well, it's probably hasn't. I mean, it's a big building. Oh, it says something like Inglewood Clubhouse.
Okay.
April 1927.
Yeah, now that's the other golf club there. He played at Inglewood before Rodnell was made into a golf club.
Okay. Getting down to the end here. Well, I mean, there's nobody in there, but there's a bunch of fish. I can imagine that Homer's in the background there somewhere, from what you're telling me.
Look at all those fish.
Oh, wait a minute. No, here's the other. Oh, no, that's... Yeah, you tell me. Does that look like Uncle Kirk?
Yes, it does. It definitely looks like it. It wasn't my dad.
So when Uncle Kirk would come out here to visit, Homer and Kirk would go off fishing.
That's right. Exactly. Much to Mother's disgust.
So this is Uncle Kirk. Okay.
Well, that was our most sincere.
That's the 23rd Avenue?
Yes.
Okay, this one even I recognize.
Well, somebody's fishing.
That's Homer, and that's your father and your brother.
Oh.
That's
well, it's my brother.
That's my father.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Shades of the past.
Exactly. It's not dated. I suspect that's Uncle Kurt again, but I'm not positive.
I can't tell you. My dad took lots of pictures of his
dog. That's somebody's dog.
Oh, yes, isn't that cute? I like that doggy. That doggy is new.
Oh, so you remember that.
Maybe it was my brother. But I'm not sure.
And did you all have pets when you were a little girl? Did the Hine family have dogs and cats?
Not when I was little, but when I got to be a teenager. I was so fond of animals. And my dad was such a kind father. And he said, she loves animals. We've got to let her have a pet. So... then I got dogs.
So you had dogs?
I had dogs, yeah.
Cats?
My mother always was afraid that I left them when I left her.
did father have dogs? Or they were family dogs, or how did that work?
Well,
was it your dog, or was it the family dog?
It was the family dog, but I took all the care of it.
Oh, I see. You were the one that had to do that.
I made friends with it. I love dogs.
Because father always liked dogs when I was growing up. We always had a dog. My mother and father had a dog before I was born, and another dog after I was born. And all the years I was growing up, we always had dogs. And that was because father liked liked dogs. He hated cats, but he liked
dogs. Oh, he hated cats.
Oh, yes. He didn't like cats at all. Cats were... See, Father was a very independent person, and cats are very independent. So,
yeah.
So he didn't get along with, you know, anybody cats. Or anything else that was independent.
Well, what else have we got to talk about here? I'm running out of questions.
Well, this is very, very nostalgic.
Awesome. Let's look through these pictures for a second. We're looking at the pictures in one of Ruth's scrapbooks. There's Father with an airplane. I wonder if he wasn't piloting that airplane.
He might have been, and that's my brother.
Right. That's
fair. I don't know who that is unless it's Aunt Nella. Can't see the face.
I can't tell, but he's certainly about the age. That he would have been flying.
Yeah, something to do with planes.
We got some ski pictures here. Who would have been that pictures of skiing? That's such horrible eyesight.
Well, I don't know. They look familiar, but they're not good enough to
see in detail. Well, let me take a look to see if I... The only person I'd like to recognize would be Father. No, you're right. I don't recognize anything.
Well, I think that this one and this one are maybe.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know about the rest of them. You recognize that car?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
The car was built and long before. Oh, that is you. I mean, this one I think I can definitely say is probably you, but I don't know about that one.
So, Ruth, for the benefit of the new tape that I've just put in, you think that Father first learned to ski on Stevens Pass, or was there a ski area then, or a...
Yes, there was. And you could ski in Leavenworth, too. It wasn't great, but you could find... You know, we'd walk up until we found those one. Climb up, ski down.
So at Stevens, there was a ski area there, but did it have lifts? Or was this before, was this when you had to walk up the hill?
I think that we had to climb up the hill then, but I'm not sure. When they got those lifts. Oh, this is heaven. Wheelbarrow.
Okay, so but you recall that Father skied at Stevens Pass first when he was first learning, and then he moved to Mount Rainier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's kind of the schedule of events. Okay, and then when you moved after you moved to Leavenworth and got married, did you continue to ski?
Well, I did for a while, and then I went into the production business.
Having children?
Yeah, I couldn't ski anymore for a while.
But did you ski with your kids when they were little?
Oh, I taught them how to ski, but I didn't ski very much myself. I was always nervous about breaking something, and I was trying to keep house and raise children. I didn't want to do it on a crutch, so I was pretty cautious.
They make better ski equipment these days.
Yes.
You're not supposed to break your leg as often, though people still break their legs. Okay, well, put in a whole new tape, 30 seconds of ski information on it.
And I'm running out of questions, so I think I'll turn the tape off until we come up with more. Well, no, I'll just leave it running, but I think I can start putting my stuff away here. Now, John, do you have anything to add?
Did you get all those pictures?
Well, we went through the pictures that I brought from home that had been in Connor's stuff. And then we were kind of looking through this, but there's not a...
Oh, that's right. We were looking at this. Okay, we can continue to thumb through these pictures and just see if there's anything worth getting on tape. The problem with looking at pictures and putting it on tape is
who knows?
Tape does, the tape doesn't show the pictures. But, is that please? Laying on the water? Not sure. It doesn't ring the bell, huh?
No, I can't tell.
Wait, is that perhaps... Does that look like your brother?
I'm going to see where that is.
That's what I would have guessed. Having fun in the water.
You know, that was at a high mountain lake someplace because it...
Oh, I think it's really right.
No, I think it is not. It's good.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is not stupid. This is looking back in the middle.
That would have been before 1955.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is... This is probably...
They look familiar.
Yeah, now that's Ellen.
That's Ellen.
Yeah.
That's not Ruth, is
no. that? And dolphin snow.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know who that is either. It's all in there.
Maybe it was a babysitter or something.
I don't know who that is either, but that's Jensen's.
Oh, that's him. Yeah.
Did she come out?
Oh, here? You think so?
Yeah, she came out to visit us.
Oh, that could very well be.
That's a Switch Money Cascade Street.
Wonders if there's a... There's writing on the back of the picture. Did this come out of there?
Oh, there's one.
Well, I mean, we get into that, we're going to be here all month. It does say... Ellen L. Hine. You got it.
That's Aunt Nell.
You're good. Aunt Nell, and it's 1943.
You're good. The girl's just 2 years old.
Oh, gosh, aren't they? Aren't they?
Well, I recognize the girls because of some of the pictures that I have.
Cute little girls.
Chrissy Fromm, the only man Fromm House, 1943. Who that is, it's out.
They're friends.
But this, they have a team of horses out front of Cascade House, Street House.
Yeah, I don't know who's got that team of horses. Is that you, John?
No, not me.
You and the horse person, I was.
Did your father regularly play on this game?
No, this was a stage name, I'm thinking.
Really?
Yeah. This was the Cascade Street house where he put the sleeping porch on. I'll bet you that's what this is putting, excavating for that. I don't know what that is either.
Great. I've forgotten Cascade Street first. I was in the original, I had a sleeping porch.
Yeah. I don't know who that is. Are you? Well, that's Mike.
Looks like
Mike. It's Cousin Mike and Cousin Molly, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, these are pictures of... This is a picture at 1204 Parkside Drive. Dinner with your dad and Helen.
Oh, well, now these were taken at the same time as some of the things you saw on my computer the other night. I recognize that picture, but it was taken with a different camera. And I recognize this picture, one very similar to it.
Isn't it cute?
Why?
Thank you, sister. Thank you. Roses.
Oh, here you go. Old picture of roses.
Good killing.
Those are old.
Well, now I hope there's... Okay, Edward John Turner, maternal grandfather of Ruth Garland.
There we go.
Oh, my.
Just got to keep turning over pictures, turning over pages.
See, people don't throw this stuff out. They just forget they have it.
That's right.
Or they don't tell their relatives who care that they have it. Here we have, says your mother, Martha Turner, granddaughter maternal of Ruth Garland. So there's
Martha.
Now that makes them...
She was my mother's mother.
Yes, exactly. My great-grandmother.
Yeah.
Who, until this trip, I didn't even know for sure what your mother's maiden name was. I'm learning all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of important stuff here. Okay, well, this is an important envelope, because it's the only pictures I know of my great-great-grandparents on your mother's side.
Oh.
That's really important.
This looks like a... Vance probably, where they pretended they were walking. And I don't even know that.
Should we figure all that out?
No.
Oh, actually, these are priceless. There's a picture of John Turner and Martha Turner. Rose's parents not only confirms their names, but their pictures. Makes them priceless.
Well, this was the rancher.
Yes.
Homer Henry Hine, wife, arrived June 1st in Seattle. 1901 in Seattle.
That just became quite expensive.
Homer Henry Hine, born in Walla Walla.
This
different
Homer.
Spelling. There's a different spelling for Walla Walla. We spell it Walla Walla.
He was born in Ohio.
I have that date in my computer. Yep, I have the date, January 18th, 1875. She was born here.
Who's Kirtland, partly Kirtland Anderson?
That's not a clue.
He was,
partly Kirtland Anderson. And
my dad's second cousin, twice removed, type.
I don't even think I have him in my database here.
Yeah, Samuel Hine, married in Missouri. Mary and Cecil had children, but there's no grand position, so he 50, she 25.
When Samuel Hine married in Missouri?
Mary and Cecil.
What's Samuel Hine? Is that our great-grandfather's Samuel Hine?
Who was 1860?
I know who Mary and Cecil are. They're actually... Well, they're the children of Samuel Hine's first marriage, and so that suggests that he was okay. Married.
Well, one name's spelling the Roosevelt name.
Well, your mother has solved that problem for us. Both Ruth and her mother changed their names. It's genetic. This suggests that Samuel Hine married in Missouri, Mary and Cecil children in Arizona. So his first marriage was in Missouri. That's interesting.
Yo!
Do not lose this one.
You know I won't get lost unless the house burns down. You'll get you want copies of those pictures.
Well, I mean, there's enough really good stuff from all sides of the family here. I'm wondering if how do I approach this delicately? Because you can certainly say no. Would you and or Ruth have an objection if I took some of this stuff back to Colorado with me, scanned it, and I turn it around and ship it back to you, insured, you know, by personal carrier within about 2 weeks?
I think that's
fine. Well, I think that would work fine.
I mean, what I'd love to do is, once I scan it, as you've seen, I've got a lot of this stuff on the computer. Once it's scanned, it can be,
I think that would be good.
Put in a format.
It took long, but that would be wonderful to have it all together.
And then I could distribute copies. Did I show both of you what I've been working on or where I'm going with this? Let me pull this up. I've been putting together, I haven't done Father yet, I'm in the process of it, and this stuff would be priceless for it, but I'm putting together, in effect, biographies of my ancestors that I can get information on, and I'm going to just show you how this works. because actually, when I do get Father done, I'll send it to all of you because you knew him. But this is in effect. Ooh, can you see this? Move over a little bit. This is a work in process. It's not complete, but it's in effect a biography of my mother. Uh-huh. And I'm going to do this on the father. I've got most of the raw material except this stuff. And if we go, it's in effect structure. It looks like a website, because that's what it is, but it runs off the hard drive. And what we can do here is I start with some genealogy information about when born, where buried, all of that kind of stuff. And all the pictures are clickable. You can increase the size of the picture. And in Mother's case, I start with an introductory web page, in effect. This is this page, to kind of give an overview. Here's our family in New Jersey in the 1950s, just some interesting pictures. There's Mother boarding a boat in Europe in 1935. Then I've broken her life up because it naturally laid out this way. In her case, because of the divorces into her early years growing up, her first marriage and her second marriage, in effect. And I can click on, it would take several hours to go through this in the kind of detail that would be worthwhile. Here are her early years. I've got, there was her childhood home in St. Louis. Did we talk about the mansion? Embezzlement problem. Yeah, that was the house Mother grew up in.
That's one house?
It ends here. Yeah. But it was 16 rooms, 6 fireplaces, they had 3 servants, ballroom on the top floor upstairs, that kind of thing. In any case, where I've got data, I've been able to include, here we start with Mother, but I've got a copy of her birth certificate, so we can click here and look at Mother's birth certificate if we want.
That's great.
I basically tried to limit this to information that future generations might have an interest in. If you wanted to sit down, if Mother's great-great-grandchildren wanted to sit down and learn to know something about their parents. I've got Mother's church documents from early on. Evidently, she started in the Presbyterian Church, but by the time I was born, she was taking me to Sunday school. We were in the Episcopal Church. Uh-huh. But I ran into this stuff, and a lot of this stuff I didn't know existed until a year ago. In any case, we've got kind of a web browser here that we can go through and look at. There's a lot of stuff. I'm just giving you really quick. This was Mother's debutante year in St. Louis, and there she is at her debutante party. We can view samples. Mother put together scrapbooks of her debutante year and her trip to Europe, which are great big thick things, and I certainly didn't scan the whole thing, but basically that's a picture of the book, and we can now go look at some of the art of the stuff that was related to her trip to Europe in 1935. So we've got all this.
That's a lot of work, Ted.
Well, the work is actually organizing this, the stuff. It's not so much work to actually get it into the software.
So this is a program that already exists, or you wrote this program?
Well, no. I'm using a web browser. It's just the same thing that is used to write web pages that you access from the internet. Mm-hmm. I'm just not running it off the internet. I'm running it off the hard drive. It's not the software that I want to use for this function in the long term. There she was with some Yale friends before she met Father. Well, now we can move on to midlife. These were the years I was growing up in New Jersey. And we can go through on that again. I just want to show you conceptually what I'm doing here. Here's the East Coast Heim family skiing in the mid-1950s.
That was whole family.
Exactly. I think you probably received one of those as a Christmas card.
So we can do that, but in addition to just the text and the pictures, if I go on to the next, well, let me find something here. Okay, we can embed, in effect, move audio and video into this also.
Wow.
So not only do we have more than just static pictures and text, but it takes, it's just taking a second to load up the software and just pain in the neck that this is going to fix your things.
Come on. Tell me about your computer. This is a brand new computer.
Yeah, I've had it all of a month. I've had it a couple of weeks.
So when did you put all the stuff on your computer?
Well, I mean, I have a desktop.
Had a desktop.
I mean, I've been playing with computers for years. A couple of years back, I went back to school for 2 years and got myself certificates in website design, network administration, and programming.
Cool.
Okay, why isn't this doing anything? Really nice. My computer is failing me. The program is not responding. And now. Well, that's a failure of Bill Gates' operating system. So this is not. We're going to have to. Let's see. Did we exit out of that? Apparently we did. It could be a function for the web browser. So we're going to go in and do this again.
So now you're running this internet stuff on your hard drive. How did you get that onto your hard drive?
Easy. You've got a certificate in website design and you know how to do this. I paid a lot of money and spent a lot of time in class.
Yeah, I can understand that.
To know how to
do this. So was a lot of this stuff Microsoft classes, or was it
no, no, this was at the University of Colorado.
This is generic college.
It's a continuing education. But I have...
Was it a regular class curriculum, or was this adult education kind of
thing?
In other words, were you enrolled at the University of Colorado as a student when you were doing
that? I was in the continuing education, which is kind of the adult education division.
Yeah. And so did you go to class daily, or was this something you met once a week in evenings kind of thing?
Yes. Both of the above.
So
I took enough classes.
Student.
Well, no, I was not a full-time student enrolled in the University of Colorado earning a degree.
Right.
As such, I earned certificates in several different things that are designed and scheduled.
But if you wanted to apply them?
Yes. But I was interested in a hands-on kind of education. The equivalent of this is probably reasonably close to a degree in computer science, but this is kind of the hands-on stuff. You get more hands-on in how to design a website and less theory as to, how the bits and
bits. Did everybody get into it as much as you did who was in the class? Or
sure. Actually, these are people who have gone, are taking these, the classes do tend to be on weekends and evenings because it's for people who probably otherwise have jobs, but it's for people who have a job and want to become a programmer, or have a job that's close to a programmer and they want to formalize their education. Anyway, we can, here's a little audio clip of Mother.
So Malcolm started connecting 11 Symphony Orchestra with a chorus of female voices. 11 recording LL1019.
That has no meaning to anybody except its mother's voice recorded in the 1950s.
From what?
It was on the front of she was recording a record onto a reel-to-reel tape recorder. And she recorded an introduction when I found that and digitized it and cleaned it up and got rid of the tape hiss and stuff like that. Well, actually, I'm doing this wrong. We'll get back to that in a second. In any case, this failed a minute ago. Well, we'll give you an even better one. Let's go. There are several other tricks I pull out of my hat here. As far as this is concerned, this has got to load up the Acrobat Reader software if you spend any time on the internet you've got on your computer.
Yeah, but I never know what's there and what isn't.
What I can do is, this is handy for text-based stuff. I
produced below. This is a letter that Mother wrote home,
I believe her first letter home from college when she went off to Finch in New York City. And I've written a little introduction here, but what the point is I've scanned and included the letter here in her own handwriting, and we can skip through it by page number as if we were thumbing through a book, and it's the way I've chosen to display text-based things. And then I don't want to spend all day with this, but I want to show you the capabilities. This page isn't done on my website. I just embedded all the people down at the reunion down in California were interested in this because they all knew Mother. Here I have a video clip, and let's see if it's going to play better than it did the last time, because this is what brought my computer to us maybe a few minutes ago. There we go. It's Thanksgiving weekend, 1989, at home in Herman, Missouri, with kids. And it's horrible video that only relatives could love or understand, but it's video of Mother. It's video clips of Mother.
Yeah, they're great.
So I don't know. I guess you didn't know Mother when she was this old, but she was the same mother you knew in the 1950s.
Let's go out and ride.
And that's Stepfather John. In any case, I can put video into this if the video footage exists.
This is a big hard drive.
Yes. It's a 60-gig hard drive. Oh, I spent so much. I should have edited this down a little more, and maybe I will, because we don't.
And who did the video?
Henry took the video.
Yeah.
That's Henry's wife, Cindy, and that's his son, Charlie, who's now at CU. And that's Mother.
That's great.
It's just home video.
Yeah.
In any case, I don't expect you to sit through, 20 minutes of video. Of so, Mother. But so the capabilities.
That's the video you have on it.
Not a lot.
Not like hours.
No. Well, you saw the video, the home movies we did at the Darlings the other night. Right. They're on here, and this was Mother. But let me go to another favorite, because this might be what I would end up doing with Homer and Rose. I go to the favorites here. Is the biography I've done of my grandparents on Mother's side, being the equivalent of Mother's side of Homer and Rose. And
so they give you this background page that looks old for you.
Well, somebody made it and I stole it off the internet, because I know how to do that too. But basically, they're just the background. Internet pages have backgrounds, and that's the background I chose for this particular thing. But these are about my grandparents on that side, of which I have not as much information as I do on Mother. And again, there's C. Earl Holbert, my grandfather, and we can click on him and make him bigger. And we come down here, and I've got a copy of his birth certificate that I scanned, and we talk about them. To the best of my knowledge,
that's... How did you come across the birth certificate?
It's just like this. They were filed in Mother's. I went through Mother's equivalent stack of stuff like this, and there it was. Along with lots of information on Grandfather, this is the only picture I know of my grandmother, Hazel, on that side of the family. Another picture of Clarence Earl Holbert, the house that they lived in. And then, in his case, we talked about last night about the fact that he was the horse thief in one branch of my family. I've got letters on here. I've digitized the stuff that the St. Louis Public Library sent me. And if we go down here and we'll click on the first page, here's the front page above the fold of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch on December 24th, 1938. And that's not him there. The yellow is where it all happens. Collier and Hitchcock funds are the losers. C. Earl Holbert, Secretary of the Holding Company. And it's all here. I mean, I've digitized it, and it's all here for anybody who, you know, for any descendants who may want to know what their great-great-grandfather may have been all about. Here are the court documents that I pulled.
And they spent hours and hours and hours.
Well, again, the hard part is organizing it and digitizing it. Actually, turning it into the website is not terribly time-consuming.
Once you got it all done.
Once you've got the basic stuff done. There's Kurt. Ruth, that's your brother with my grandfather on my mother's side.
Oh,
taken,
yes.
Taken in St. Louis. And we even get down here. We can even go, I've gone even steps farther. There's gravestone in the family cemetery in Moberly, Missouri. On mother's side of the family, I have...
Your mom is there too, right?
Yes. And I knew there were three generations of Fulfords in that cemetery, and I just recently learned from my fourth cousin, Ina, on mother's side, that I have five generations of ancestors buried in the cemetery in Moberly, Missouri. That's as many generations as are buried in the Pine and Kirtland side. In Poland. In any case, we've got pictures and miscellaneous stuff. So, letters that he wrote. But let me make this more interesting for the two of you. Where do I go to get this? I've got it on here. Again, I've got raw data on my father, but I don't have it in a web page yet. So we have to get at this stuff the hard way. By going to my computer, the C drive. Audio. Let's go there. Okay, let's click on this and see what happens. That's father. Sitting in a car with Greg, driving somewhere in South Florida not long before he passed away, talking about family history as he remembers it.
I don't think he ever weighed over 120 pounds. But in those days, they used to be able to run what they called a flying wedge. And they'd make up a wedge of men on the offensive. And they'd roar down the field trying to knock the defense out of the way. And when they finally got brought to a stump, then the backfield would take Father and throw him over to all the people as far as they could throw him. So they wanted to wait for us.
He's talking about Hammer.
That was Father's football. That's a little bit illegal out of players now. That's right. My mother used to call it. What speeds this tape running on? Oh, I see. He grew up on the farm where you saw the wee man. I think that was on a 100-200 acre farm, something like that. And at that time, of course, Father was recruited together with his three brothers and his sister. There being four brothers and sister in the family. To do farm work, they saw the ice out of the pond in the river in the winter and put it in an ice house, which consisted of a couple of walls about 2 feet apart, I think, and all filled with sawdust. And that they would still have ice right in the middle of summer in their ice house. And of course, fresh water came from the old cast iron pump to the pump handle. One of his duties, he pointed out, was to hitch up a team and to take the farm produce to town, pull up to Youngstown. And at that time, he said, it was an all-day job. He'd take the farm produce, which that has been collected over the week or the month or something, and sell it for the best price in town. And then you had a shopping list, which you've sort of looked at, and those old books I get. To buy a pair of shoes, to buy a hat, to buy a bag.
We have Samuel Hines' day books or something like that. They're kind of business logs.
10 minutes from Poland, center of Poland, to the center of Youngstown. They've grown right together. There are no longer any open spaces there. Your great-grandfather, of course, lived there. Samuel Goodman,
This was recorded. Father was seriously being affected by the cancer.
I'd have to try with
this
that.
Was only a month or two before he passed away.
He'd been diagnosed.
Oh, yeah. He was
sick. There are a whole lot of Goodmans. There are more Goodman names in the act out there than there are Hine. The Hine is kind of a spur of the Goodman family. You may have heard the funny story about Darius Goodman. Well, that's funny enough. He used to be with a name like that. We used to have an oval, large oval portrait of Billy's Goodman in the living room in Seattle. I was ever glad we got rid of that because people would ask who it was.
And I said, oh, man.
My great uncle, Billy's Goodman. I'd say, Billy's, get a life on him. Billy's was almost hung as a witch at one point because he was
That's great, Red Bob, when they're driving in a
car. He was early in the days of electricity. Now, did I tell you a story about his lighting jars? Well, to make a condenser, you are aware that you have two conducting plates of material with some insulating material between them. And the way to make a condenser in those days was called a lighting jar. You promoted a quart-sized mason jar, and you got some of what in those days was lead foil, no such thing as aluminum, and coated the inside with lead foil and wrapped lead foil on the outside, and you had the components of a condenser which will store electricity. And then he had a Winters, I guess, type static electric generator. You turn the big disc and it goes between little cast whiskers and stuff. It works like comb when you dry hair on a dry day. And he would charge up these light jars, and then people would want to come up and see his experimental setup upstairs. I believe it was up in the tower of the old home. In those days, they used to have lots of towers and widow's walks high in the house. People would get up there and he'd have these jars all charged up, and he'd let somebody grab a hold of the electrode and they'd get a hell of a shock. And understand that it also must be witchcraft. And they were about to darn feather and they'd throw them out of town. Maybe I'd take a little after burning or other. Billy's Goodman. There is a small settlement nearby called Goodland, Ohio. And among some of the important people there are Turan Goodland, and I've forgotten why he was so important. But almost everybody in town was related to one another, I believe. At least as distant cousins out there.
How about here? What is
this? Well, let's see. I'd have to look on a tombstone. In the late 80s, because he died, 20 years ago? He died in the late 50s.
Right.
And,
is this boring you?
That's very interesting.
I'm going to grab a glass of
water. So I would go back to about 1880, wouldn't I?
Yeah. The Henry Homer reminder, the Homer reminded me of day books, the day logs that I have.
My father, your grandfather.
I love the day logs from 1845.
Well, I think they lasted over the years. Because if it's Homer Henry, well, that's my father. wanting stories about Father, but he finally got around to telling me. I think I told you this one. I was 18 years old before I realized he was blind in one eye. Really meant that, yeah. His eye looked perfectly good. I wonder why he kind of squinted sometimes. But what happened is that he couldn't afford a shotgun, and the family couldn't afford to get him one. And all his friends had shotguns, and they were going out hunting coon and things like that. So he decided he was going to make one. He got a piece of pipe, and drilled a hole near the end, put the fuse in. And he hammered a cork in the end. And then he dropped the wadding and the powder and the shot down the muzzle. And he got the thing up in front of him and lit the fuse. And of course, naturally, the lead didn't go out the barrel. The cork went out the other end. It's so much lighter, right into his eye.
So he had it fairly close, Grandpa.
On the internet, but it'll be on the CD, which you can plug into your computer and listen to it out there.
The whole thing.
Married your grandmother out there.